Do you want to become a better songwriter? Well, we created a very simple 10-minute songwriter personality test, and it's going to help you better understand who you are as a writer, and it's going to help you in the writer's room when you're writing with other writers, because you're going to be able to identify what kind of writer they are. Maybe even have them take the songwriter personality test. If you're curious and you want to take the songwriter personality test today, just visit songwriterpersonalitytest.com or go to the link on the writingworship.co website.
Welcome to the Writing Worship Podcast, a place for kingdom-minded songwriters to grow in their craft and community.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Writing Worship Podcast. I am sitting with two beautiful people here. I've got Emily Weeks.
Hello.
And we've got Nick Morrow.
Hey, hey, hey.
Yes. Did I say that right? Morrow. I just said Morrow. It's,
you know,
Morrow.
It's Morrow.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I'll answer to whatever. Okay. You know, at this point, everyone spells it M-A-R-R, which is wrong. It's
M-O-R-R-O-W.
Like tomorrow without the two, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So sorry. I said it just a little bit wrong.
What's the origin of the name?
It means seafarer. It's from Ireland, I believe.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good for you. You got some Irish in you.
Yes.
Irish in you, lad.
Apparently, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I found this out. We had a friend who did a painting for us that was a prophetic painting of sorts. This guy would kind of stay up throughout the night. He would paint something that he felt the Lord was putting on his heart for you or the family. And then on the back, he's a lead pastor, but an artist as well. He'd write scriptures and prayers.
Wow.
All on the back and then frame it. And so like one day, we've never read all of them, but that was one piece he shared with us. That's how I found that out.
Wow.
Years ago. Yeah.
That's neat. That's so cool.
Seafaring people. Yes. I'm Swedish, so I'm from some seafarers as well.
That's right.
Yeah. Scandinavian ones.
Scandinavian, yeah.
And German.
And I'm German.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, we don't have the greatest of, we have like a barbaric history.
Yeah.
But
I wasn't going to go there. I wasn't going to throw you under the bus.
What about that fairy tale, Eric? What was that fairy tale about?
Oh, the Der Struppelpeter.
Everybody go find that online.
Yeah.
Where can they find that, Eric?
I'll have an Amazon link in the
there
show notes.
Link in show.
Just don't show it to your kids because it's kind of graphic. The lessons that they're teaching. It's fairy tales, but they're teaching lessons to kids in it. Like one of them is don't suck your thumbs.
Oh boy, yeah.
If you do suck your thumbs, then a man will come and cut off your thumbs.
And it's illustrated.
And it's illustrated.
Yeah, they don't play.
It's pretty direct, you know?
What
if you don't eat your soup, you're going to die, you know? And then literally there's like a grave site with the
guys, and this is why Eric is who he is today.
It did shape me quite a bit, for better or worse.
It always makes me think of what's Dwight's Santa Claus character on in the one.
Yes, the guy that steals the
children.
Belschnickel. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's a crazy thing, these Germans, but it is what it is. But we are going to be talking today. Today's topic of choice is songwriting culture in the church, mm-hmm. really. Big one. Big topic. We get this a lot in our writing club, in just the writing worship community. There's a lot of worship leaders who don't know the first thing necessarily. How do I start sharing and getting our church writing songs for their congregations?
Even if they're great songwriters, like, okay, now how do I multiply this and pull in other people? Even we were just talking this last week, we've had three different people reach out and say, I'm doing something or trying to start something in my church. What do you guys have? And we're sorting, you know, we're just like coaching people through, here's where I would start and all that.
Yeah. I mean, we have resources, like we have the book. We have a book study that you can do with your church. We have the mentorship that you can literally do with your church. We actually had one church go through the mentorship. Four people went through the mentorship as part of the church together.
Amazing.
We ended up coming out there. And actually, Emily was the one that went with us to Peoria.
That's right.
And I'm
right.
wearing the shirt.
It's so
wearing,
fun. Free go. Shirts.
Free t-shirts when you go there.
Yeah, that's right. Hope lives here.
Yes. Northwoods up in Peoria had us out. And yeah, so there's just a lot of, there's a lot of people with that question. How do I start a songwriting culture? How do I develop songs and do all of that? And we have somebody today on the podcast that spoke at our Writing Worship Conference.
Yeah.
Our most recent conference back in September, Stephen Brewster. It's going to be a really great conversation. What are your thoughts, guys, about songwriting culture in the church? What's been your experience in writing songs for the church? Have you done it in community like that? Either one of you?
Well, I'll jump in real quick. So my church is doing a lot of original music right now, but it was really neat because before I got involved in that community within my church, I had already connected with writing worship. So I was actually equipped to, when that opportunity presented itself, I had already done so much with writing worship and experienced co-writes and learned from Chrissy and all the, you know, they've got these videos about co-writing no-nos. And I mean, really, Chrissy is just a wealth, a total wealth of information, but she just delivers it in such a heart-filled way. But I just remember when I started getting invited into that with the people at church, I wasn't as intimidated as I would have been because I was like, okay, this is still vulnerable, but I've done this. Like, and so I just feel also really strongly that leaders, like if you're listening to this and you're in a place to lead other people, I think seeing the people around you and stewarding, helping them to steward their gifts is really, really important because I talk to a lot of people who have musical gifts and they don't know how to, but they're not the leader. So sometimes they don't know how do I break into the songwriting culture at my church. And I think sometimes we can tend to just go like, well, great, we're set. We got our two or three people we know we write well with. But if we can try to still be open as leaders to seeing other people and welcoming people in, I think that's really good. And so our church, we kind of most of the time just arrange writes based on what we're going to be talking about at church. But they did have a co-writing kind of a retreat. And that was really fun because anyone that they could think of that had a writing gift at all came to this thing. And it really brought opportunity for different voices to take a stab at writing something for church. And so anyway, that's been a real blessing.
And I'm sure amazing, like, variety of experience level.
Exactly. Too,
which is really cool when newbies can learn and sit in a room with guys like you. Not guys. You're not a guy.
A gal.
I mean, guys and gals. People. I'm Midwestern, so guys is like anything, right? Guys is everyone. Yeah. People like you. I'm thinking you, Tony's at your church. I mean, there's others. There's a lot of people at your church. There's just a wealth of talent and experience that to think a newbie could come and sit and kind of learn and soak that up is amazing.
That's right.
It's kind of rare, that opportunity.
Well, and everybody has to have their invitation at some point, right? Like someone, any of us that are even writing songs that maybe a church is singing or somehow an artist is doing it or whatever, we all had someone say,
"Yeah,
you know what? I don't think I've heard you write at all. Or I don't know, but come on." Mm-hmm. And then that is absolutely life-changing when a leader calls someone along before they even know what that person has to offer. I think God really blesses that spirit and that willingness to see things in other people. And that's one thing that Chrissy has always done so well is before you've proven yourself, you've already got a seat at the table. Mm. And then from there, God can do amazing things. So
yeah,
that's amazing.
We used to have a tagline. One of our original taglines for Writing Worship was a songwriting culture in 10,000 churches. And we literally just were like starting to count anytime Chrissy would do a speaking at a church or a lecture somewhere. You know, I think we stopped counting at like 30 or something. We were like, I don't know if we want to have this as our tagline because it can get pretty. but it's an amazing idea, really. Just the vision of 10,000 churches writing songs for their congregations. That's so important that your church's voice is heard and expressed in worship.
This is a big passion of mine. That in particular is that the DNA, the local DNA of that church. So I remember originally when I very first started singing songs that I was writing, or that another one of our worship pastors was writing, and it was a really high value, so much so that I remember for a season, we said, we're going to sing at least one song that we've written every week. And I remember there being a little bit of pushback on that. And I remember thinking, we're not covering sermons. We are trying to appropriate, or we're trying to contextualize the gospel for our specific area and our specific church. We have to do the same thing with music. You know, there's a musical language just like there is a spoken language. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things that you can do as a, even you look at the United States and the pockets of these like amazing genres and things that have come out, and just how little of the pie. We've settled for this tiny little slice in terms of the worship genre, but there's so much that I think is starting to happen. And I think we're seeing that pop up in the local context, which is amazing.
Yeah.
One really cool thing practically that our church did, which is actually the first thing that got Caleb and I, Caleb's my husband, involved, was our worship pastor, Carl Carty, mm-hmm. who is awesome.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's the best. Mm-hmm. He issued a challenge to any songwriter at the church to write for the songs of Advent for Christmas. Mm. And there was just a drop box. It didn't matter if you had, if they knew you wrote songs or anything. In fact, we didn't get the invite from him directly. I got it from someone else who said, hey, will you write with me? And then I said, guys, I have a newborn. I can't, I can only write things at home, like in between diaper changes. And so she goes, well, you and Caleb should just write a song. Mm-hmm. So we wrote a song, put it in the Dropbox, and they ended up using it. But I think things like that, ways that we can think about how do we invite people, and then who knows what'll happen from there.
But yeah, that's cool.
Just ways to think about inviting people in.
Yeah, that's great.
That's amazing.
I love that. Guys, I mean, we could talk for a long time, but let's hear what Stephen Brewster has to say, who works with some of the more well-known churches, one of them being Elevation Church. I think Gateway in Dallas is another one that he's really helped direct and helped these songwriters craft. And then, of course, another person I'm thinking of that I didn't realize was working with him is Sharon Bird, our friend up in New Jersey.
Yep.
So, and I know he works with many, many more churches and congregations, and he does this stuff all day long. And he delivered a great
All different sizes.
He
gets it, and how to implement culture and church. And this is one of my favorite conference teachings that we had this year. It was so good.
Yeah.
I felt like I learned a lot.
All right. Well, here he is, Stephen Brewster.
How you guys doing? Isn't this an amazing event? So I got to be honest with you. Yesterday, I put on my calendar that I was speaking yesterday. And so I showed up yesterday and I got to sit in and I was blown away. And then I got to come back this morning and I was like, this is awesome. And I'm a little nervous. Like, I don't normally get nervous when I speak because, I mean, I speak about the same kind of things all the time. So I've got a few reps. But I don't have like a piano player and I didn't write the song. I just wrote the talk. And so there's a few things that have made me a little nervous about today. So have some grace on me. This is going to be a little bit more of a practical conversation, maybe a little more practical than some of the amazing things that have ministered to me in the 2 days that I've been here, which I'm so glad I made a mistake on my calendar because it was just so awesome yesterday. So Rita and Jenny was just amazing. So I'm going to help you guys maybe think through, what do you do after you've written the song? Or how do you build the structure to write more songs? Or what should we do with these songs? Because I believe that every church has a unique calling on the church. There's a reason why your church exists inside of your community to reach your community. And a lot of times, people are going to come to your church for one thing, and then they're going to realize, oh my gosh, there's so much more that we can learn about Jesus through this experience. And you guys have probably heard like an amazing, at least one amazing sermon in your life, right? Like, you probably heard one good one. Can anyone, like, at least one good one? Okay, good. Okay. Whew. If not, we need to have a different conversation. But so you've heard at least one good sermon in your life. Can you remember every point of that sermon? Probably not. And every scripture verse and every meaning. But you can remember the words to the song. And I think that a lot of times for worship leaders in church, your primary responsibility is to write the message in song for what your church is. And so with that as the kind of the base, I'm going to give you a few ideas, and then I'm going to give you some practical, okay? I think there's five reasons why every church should write their own original music. Now, that doesn't mean that every church is supposed to be Elevation or Bethel or whomever else. But I think there's five reasons why you should write music for your community. And the very first one is to foster creativity. This is a room full of creatives, I can already tell. If I asked how many of you are creative, probably almost all of the hands would go up. A lot of times, you've probably experienced this, that most people don't feel like they're creative. I want to tell you a funny story. There was a guy named Dr. Joseph Land, and in the 1970s, NASA brought him in to do an assessment with their best astronauts and engineers. And they wanted to see who was the most creative. So he gave these astronauts and engineers this assessment, and they were like, oh my gosh, this was so powerful. It was so good that the Florida Department of Education said, can you come and do that same assessment for our Head Start program? And he was like, sure. So the same test that these astronauts and engineers took, he applied to kindergartners, 1,500 of them. How many of you have been to kindergarten ever in your life? Okay, so you know just how creative those kids are with their boogers alone is amazing, okay? He gives these 1,500 kids this assessment. 98% of the kids graded out at genius level creative. It's pretty crazy, right? He comes back 5 years later, pretty much the same kids, the exact same assessment. They're now in fourth grade. 32% grade out as creative. Comes back 5 years later, freshman, almost all the same kids, same assessment, 12% grade out as creative. He panics. What's happening to creativity? He goes and gets 250,000 adults, 18 to 45, gives them the assessment. 2% graded out as creative. The fact that you're in this room and you've held on to creativity your whole life is amazing. Now, the reality is creativity is muscle. It's not magic. And when we don't exercise the muscle gets weak. The reason those kids were creative when they were in kindergarten and stopped being creative when they were 45 was not because God took creativity away from them. It's because they stopped exercising their creativity. And that muscle just got weak. That's a little bit of a scientific method. Biblically, I think your Bible probably says the same thing mine does. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Fifth word, first time you see God's character. And the first thing he chose to show us about his nature is that he was creative. If that's the thing that he valued most to put at the beginning, he could have put anything and it would have still been beautiful. But he chose to put that first. A couple of verses later, it says that we're made in his image. So if the first thing he prioritized about telling us about his nature was his creativity, what about us? We get to be creative too, okay? So when you write songs for your local church, you're exercising creativity. And it may be the only time that the team that you serve with or the volunteers that you have on your team ever exercise their creativity is when you pull them in to help write a song. And if that's true, the songs are probably going to be pretty bad at the beginning. But we'll get them better as we go. Okay, the second reason is writing songs for your church is the sound of your ministry. Like I said, the world doesn't need another Elevation. We have that already. The world doesn't need another Circuit Riders. We already have that. But your community needs your message melodically and in song. The pastor's message, the calling of the church, the purpose of the church, write those songs. Because that's the song that nobody else can write. When you write the song of your church, nobody else can write that song. You're the only one. So that's number two. Number three, when you start to release those songs, it provides worship anytime, anywhere for your congregation. Now, this is going to either make you feel really awesome or really scared, but most of the people in your church think that you wrote Graves into Gardens. Because they don't live in our world, right? So they think that every song you sing on Sunday morning, you guys wrote it. Because let's be honest, worship, as much as we love it, for somebody who doesn't go to church, it can be a little bit intimidating, right? It's 9 o'clock in the morning. We're asking you to do karaoke. We haven't served any drinks. Weird songs that nobody knows. So, like, they don't know what you do or don't do or what you... So on Thursday afternoon when they're leaving their job at the bank or at Home Depot or at the hospital, and it's been a really rough day, and they get in their car and they turn on the... They're like, I just need to hear that song that we sang in church. They might not even know where to go look for that song. But if they know that you release music, they can at least go hear one of the songs you wrote on your YouTube channel or your Spotify channel or something like that. So you're providing a ministry. And the funny thing, some of you are like, I need this 5 things so that I can talk to my executive pastor about how to fund putting out music. This is going to help you. At no point has the executive pastor ever walked over to the youth pastor and been like, hey, what's the ROI on that pizza? Right? Or they haven't walked up to the kids ministry and been like, diapers and goldfish are expensive. What's the ROI on those, right? It's the cost of doing ministry. I think part of the cost of doing ministry for music is writing camps, conferences like this, releasing music, producing music, creating is part of the ministry that we get to participate in, okay? And so the next time your executive pastor's like, it's a lot of money. Just tell them, what's a soul worth? You know? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That's manipulation. Don't do that. Don't do that. But it does provide music anytime, anywhere, so that that person that's having a hard day, they can go find that song and be ministered to on Thursday on their way home, not just on Sunday morning when we're doing karaoke. Okay? Number 4, I think that when you start to create music in your church for your church, it helps value your teammates and your volunteers. You guys probably have never had this problem before, but I've talked to some worship leader friends who have people not respond to Planning Center or cancel their Planning Center acceptance after they've accepted it. You guys never have that problem. I know you don't, but some people do, believe it or not. And I think that when you start to invite people into the whole process, their level of ownership grows. So, oh, we're going to play that song that I got to help write on or that I was sitting in the room when we wrote. I'm going to not skip to go watch the football game. I'm going to come and play that song. Oh, we're going to record this. It could end up on Spotify. Now my bass player, who does not show up ever, it's always the bass player, they're going to be like, man, I get to be part of something. You're inviting them into something bigger. And we know that you're inviting them into something bigger as a ministry and as a narrative and something bigger for their life. But it might just be that hook that gets them just a step closer to Jesus. So you value your team and you value your volunteers. The last one is the grossest one of all of them. It's called marketing. Okay. Now, I know that your church doesn't need it, but a lot of churches, the average church in America is like 78 people. The majority of churches in America are between 100 and 1,000, like 98% or something crazy like that. When you start to release music, all of a sudden you become known as the church that releases music, and it gives you a chance to make new relationships with other worship leaders in your community. It gives you a chance to let people in your community know what you're doing, and it gives your social media person something to post besides Taco Tuesday and sermon recaps, okay? And so now all of a sudden we can start telling our story through social media. Now, we've all opened up our Instagram or our TikTok on Friday mornings, and every worship leader that's releasing their music is like, hey, it's Steve from this church and our new song's available now. I don't want you to do that. But why did you write that song? Tell me that. What was the lyric that ministered to you when you wrote that song? Tell me that. Give me something that's shareable. Because the music, a lot of times, most of the time, it ministers to you first, and then it ministers to the people that you've written it with or for. Okay, share those stories. Because even if the song isn't the thing that does the ministry, sometimes the social media post could be the thing that does the ministry. Okay, so those are five reasons why you should do it. Now, how do you do it? Now, you guys probably know more than most rooms that I talked about this, but I'm going to give you a couple things. The very first one is publishing. Super simple concept, right? Nobody's ever been confused by publishing, ever. I think publishing is actually the most confusing thing that I deal with churches on, and I think it's our fault as creatives. Because in no other world do you take two halves and they equal 100%. I mean, 200%, right? Normally, 50% and 50% is 100%. Not when you write a song, you put creatives in charge of math and this is what happens, okay? All of a sudden, we've got a half and a half, 200, perfect. So we know that publishing is a writer share that equals 100% and a publishing share that equals 100%, okay? That's the ownership of that song lives in those two spaces. Now, there's a spectrum when it comes to churches releasing music. On this end of the spectrum, you have the church that says, hey, we pay your salary, we pay for your insurance. You write on the church's time. We're going to own 100% of the writer's share and 100% of the publisher's share. I know some people are like, what? It's like Puffy stealing Biggie's publishing in here. Okay, then on this side, only my hip-hop friends understood that one. Then on this side, you have, hey, we believe in you as a writer and as a psalmist, and you're doing ministry. We want you to keep 100% of the writer's share and 100% of the publisher's share. Okay, I get to work with a lot of churches. Several of them live over here in all my years of doing this. Now, I was in the music business for like 10 years, left the music business to go work in a church, became an executive creative pastor, and then 5 years ago, just started helping only worship teams release music. So about 15 years of music business, only one church that I've ever worked with has lived over here. Okay, here's what I would tell you though. Actually, neither one of those is probably completely fair, right? Because this side doesn't honor the creative and this side doesn't honor the church. So publishing is a spectrum. You can land anywhere between those two points that you want to. The very middle would be, and I'm not suggesting this is where you should land, but I'm just giving you the spectrum. The very middle is the writer gets 100% of the writer's share, the church gets 100% of the publishing share, only on the songs that they release. Okay, now the writer's honored, the church is honored, your executive pastor can start to recoup some of that money so he can buy more goldfish, and everybody kind of feels like we're operating together. Okay, and that's the simplest way to do, that's the simplest way to create, well, this is probably the simplest way, but the simplest fair way is to be right in the middle. And then you just do a single song agreement for the songs that you write, and then you release those songs and everybody gets honored in the process. So setting up your publishing is really important. If you're going to go that route, your church would have to set themselves up as a publisher with ASCAP and BMI. And then you would have to set yourself up as a writer with either ASCAP or BMI. But the reason your church needs ASCAP and BMI is because you may have other writers. You may have some writers who are on ASCAP and some who are on BMI. Okay. And then you register every song so that it's covered. You set up a sound exchange for the artist, which is the church. Here's one of the weird concepts of releasing music as a church is the church is the artist and the label. So you have to operate in both functions. So now that you've got like the foundation built around the publishing, and that's the quickest version of it, I'm happy to give you more information on that. But that's the 101 starter kit for publishing. Once you've done that, now you have to set up a writing culture in your church. I have a friend who Well, I have a lot of friends who write songs. Most of them are songwriters. Some of them are baristas. But this guy writes songs, and he was like, this is probably one of the most important things. Songwriters and people who write songs are very different things. Okay? If you write songs, you're an amateur. And you wait for inspiration to show up, and you only write when there's a deadline or something attached to it. If you're a songwriter, there's a discipline that goes with it. In this room, I think we can talk about the third person that doesn't always exist in churches, and that's the psalmist. And that's the person who has to write no matter what, because it's part of the calling and the design that God created for them. But some of you fit into that category. Let's just go with the amateur and the, we're going to say professional, not to take any of the ministry away from it, but the person who's committed to writing songs and then the person who writes when they're inspired. When you write when you're inspired, you will write very, very few songs. When you write because of discipline, you're intentional with how you write. So when I'm working with a church, I will tell them every week, 3 hours a week, you're going to write songs. And instantly, I can tell if they like to write songs or if they have to write songs. Because they're like, I don't know if we can fit that in. Or they're like, I will cancel my staff meeting and my meeting with my pastor to do this. Because they love it so much. So you write every week, 3 hours a week. Every month, you're going to take 6 hours and workshop the songs that you wrote during those three-hour blocks. Okay? Once a quarter, you're going to take and you're going to invite a bunch of volunteers, maybe people from other churches in your community, and you're going to do a one-day camp, kind of like what you guys did the first day you were here. And then twice a year, you're going to grab the best writers that you've developed through some of these processes, and you're going to go off and do a two-day writers camp for your church. Okay? That's just a routine. That's a discipline. Now, I'm giving you that as a model. Please adapt that to your culture, right? Maybe your culture is you need to write 3 hours every day. If so, don't tell anybody else. They're going to be very jealous. You're going to get hate. Maybe the best that you can do is writing 2 hours every 2 weeks. But you've got to have a discipline if you're going to get good at writing songs. Okay? A lot of times you're going to show up in the writing room, especially if you're doing it 3 hours a week or more, you're going to show up some days and you're going to sit down and you're going to go, I don't know what we're supposed to do. Like, what are we doing here today? We don't have an idea. We don't have anything. And one of the things I think is beautiful about what Chrissy was, what you guys do here, led by her, is when you guys like write the Psalms and sing the Psalms, right? Sometimes that writing room is not about a bridge or a melody or a hook. It's about getting time with God and figuring out what he's trying to say to you for your church, right? And so some days you might just be one word and that's what you're going to live on for the whole 3 hours. And then some days you're going to write a whole song and you're going to be like, where did that come from? But I think it's so important. You also have to prepare, though, to go into those sessions. So you need to be in your word every day. I get to work with a lot of worship teams. It's honestly humorous to me that God's allowing me to do what I'm doing. And it blows my mind how many professional worship leaders who write songs that you sing in your churches, how little time they spend in their word to prepare for writing songs. And to me, it's, I'll tell you guys a really funny story really quick. Okay, I got time. My wife is an Enneagram coach, life coach, Enneagram specialist. She's amazing. She's also a 7 with a really strong 8 wing. So one day we had a team in town and they were doing some songwrites and we get in the car to go to the restaurant and one of the guys jumps in the backseat of the car and she says, hey, how did your songwrite session go today? He's like, it was okay. And she's like, well, why was it just okay? And he's like, well, I've been told I'm a little too aggressive in the songwriting session. So I just took a seat back a little bit today and let it go. And I just don't think it was a very good song. And she's like, oh, that's too bad. what did you write about? And he's like, oh, somebody came in with this idea, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, how many ideas do you bring to a trip like this? Because they're from another city. And he's like, well, I bring a few. And she's like, where do you get those? He's like, you know, here or there. And she's like, well, how often do you read your Bible? And he said, once a month. And now, let me back up a little bit. She said, how often do you read your Bible? And at that point, I almost like crashed the car in the ditch, because I'm like, you're like calling my man out in the car on the way to dinner, but you're a 7 with an 8 wing, so that's accepted or expected probably. He's like, well, you know, I read my Bible more than once a month, but I read it once a month to just thinking about songs. And she's like, well, that's why the songwriting session wasn't very good, because you didn't do your work in advance to be prepared. And I was like, we just lost a client. But she was totally right. She was totally right. If you're not spending time preparing for those moments, you're never going to be ready for those moments. Another thing that, and I've dabbled in songwriting. I am not a songwriter. I don't profess it. I'm not trying to like be part of the posse. I am a complete poser, okay? But a lot of my friends have told me this, because we talk about these topics a lot. And one of the things that they said is, when you're stuck in a songwriting session, sing out loud and watch how it changes things. And so I would just encourage you, if you're stuck, sing out loud. Okay, I'm also going to give you three very small exercises that will help you be a better songwriter, okay? You look at me and you're like, oh, he must work out all the time. He looks just like The Rock. I don't. But I do like to work out. And when I do work out, it's uncomfortable the next day. When I go to the gym and work out with a trainer, it like hurts the next day. Like I can't stand up straight or walk. And so the reason is because when I go to the gym and work out with the trainer, he's teaching me how to work the muscles a little differently. I could do the exact same exercise, completely different results. The three things I'm going to tell you are not earth-shattering revelations, okay? But I think that if you focus on the muscles, they could change how you write. Okay, so the first one is, you need to pay attention all the time. Like I said, I have some friends who write songs. And I went to lunch with one day, and we were sitting there, and his daughter said something. He's like, ooh, that's a good song lyric. A couple of minutes later, he's like, man, his son said something. He's like, man, that's a great song title. A few minutes later, his daughter said something else, and he's like, that's another great song lyric. And she's like frustrated, and she's like, Dad, does everything have to be about the song? And I was like, I wanted to call like a real life timeout. I'm like, sweetie, that's going to pay for college, for your car, for your wedding. Let it be about the song, girl. Don't mess it up. You're messing it up for all of us. So later on that day, I'm like, hey, tell me about that moment. And he's like, my job is to have my antenna up all the time. I don't know the next moment that God's going to bring an amazing idea in front of me. And my job is to steward those ideas. And I know you guys have probably never had this happen before, but I've had at least one good idea in my life, and I'm like, man, that idea is so good, I'm never going to forget it. You guys ever had that? Like, you had an idea, and you're like, oh, this is a good idea, I'll never forget it. Well, that brings us to number two. Write down every idea that you have. Okay, so pay attention all the time. Write down every idea that you have. Now, I hate email. Like, it's... to me, email is like a treadmill to hell. Like, you never win the game. You never win the game. You send one out, three come back to you. So every time I open up my email, it's full of perspiration, no inspiration. So I started emailing myself every idea that I had. So now every time I open up my inbox, at least I have my own inspiration with everybody else's perspiration. Okay, so number one, you're going to pay attention. Number two, you're going to write down every idea. Number three, I want you to be a scrapbooker. Anybody in here scrapbook? Okay, when I say this, it's just a joke. I don't want to offend you. You don't have to go buy the bib overalls with the bedazzled pocket for your scissors. You don't have to do that. If you do, please tag me on Instagram when you post it. I want to see it. But you need to collect the way a scrapbooker collects. Every time you see something that inspires you or that you think is beautiful, or you hear a song or you see a video, collect, 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 collect. Right? So now when you show up in that songwriting session, maybe it's not a day where you need to be ministered to by one word out of the Bible, but maybe you need to go to the work and the exercises that you do to stay creative, which those are three of them, so that you have something to work on when you show up to the songwriting session. Cool? Okay. Publishing. Now we write songs. Now at least we have something to work with. So now you're going to start to figure out, how do you release your songs? TuneCore or DistroKid are great first steps. Start releasing your music there. Once you put your song through, now most churches that I work with, they'll call me on like Monday and they'll be like, hey, we got a song that is amazing and we're going to put it out on Friday. And I'm always like, congratulations, no one's going to hear this song ever. There's about 6,000 songs a week that go to Spotify. If you want your song to have a chance to be heard, you need to plan to upload it to your distribution aggregator at least 1 month before it's going to come out. And then use the pitch tool in Spotify and the pitch tool in Amazon to pitch your songs to editors who can then place it appropriately on different playlists. Playlists are not a marketing plan, but they are an opportunity for you to grow the influence of your ministry with other people who like worship music. Okay? So you can use one of those aggregators. Eventually, over time, you're going to get songs that have a lot of streams, and then a record label or publishing company is going to come along. It's a totally different conversation. Don't get into the seventh inning when you're in batting practice. Stay focused on controlling what you can control and stewarding what God put in front of you and releasing it in a very simple manner. Okay? Assets and versions. So you guys, like Hillsong, released their album, and then a couple months, I guess about a month later, they released Team Night. And it's just new versions of the same songs. A lot of times, we feel like every song weighs the same. And so therefore, we must like protect it, like it's the royal crown. And the truth is, songs, when it comes to releasing music, songs are part of a journey. And imagine that we're all on the interstate. We're trying to get to a place. And every time we release a song or a version of a song, it creates an on-ramp to that interstate for other people to join our caravan towards this destination we're headed to. If you have a really good song, do the live version, do the studio version, do the acoustic version, do the stairwell version, see if Chris Brown will duet on it. Like, do all of these versions, because these versions help people. Remember, we talked about how most churches are 1,000 or less. A lot of churches can't perform the song the way that you did it on your worship night when you spent a lot of money to create this amazing experience, right? So when they see the acoustic guitar and piano version, they're like, when I get off work today, I can go figure out how to do that. Because I don't even work full-time at the church, but I'm responsible to lead worship. And now that version's going to help me do that. Okay? So don't be so protective of the art. Now listen, I'm a creative person. I love artists. It's my people. We're weird sometimes, and we think weird things about the stuff that we own or steward through God or whatever we call it, but don't be so possessive. The stripped down version does not remove any of the amazingness of what God intended for that song. So free yourself of that. Okay? Then the last thing is back to marketing, because we always put the worst thing at the end. So marketing at the top, marketing at the bottom. Again, marketing, and this is just to drive home the point, the goal is not a million streams. The goal is stewardship, availability, and effort. If you focus on those three things, God's responsible for results. The minute you start to focus on results, no one's handling stewardship, availability, and effort. Your job is to steward what God gave you. In order to steward it well, tell amazing stories about the songs that you've created. Don't fall into the trap of, I'm just going to do What is the latest trend that I can follow? Trends are great. Best practices are amazing. We're always learning those. Nothing replaces story. So tell the best story because God's given you the best story. Last thing I want to encourage you with is there's going to be some days where you're like, I don't think I can do this anymore. Like, I think that I've had enough, and there's frustrations and there's different things that are pulling on you that are keeping you from writing the best songs or being the creative person that God intended you to be. And if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this. Don't quit. You can quit your job. Don't tell your exec pastor I said that. But if sometimes we move on. There's seasons. What I don't want you to quit is being a creative and being a psalmist. Don't quit on the calling that God put on your life. And we have all been in church for a while, and there's one commonality of any church that you've been in for a long time. There's the opportunity to be hurt. And I would tell you that the Bible is extremely clear that the church is not intended to hurt people. People hurt people, but the church didn't hurt people. And don't confuse the two. Stay committed to what God's called you to steward and keep showing up. Can I pray for you guys? Awesome. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this unique collection of friends. Thank you for the songs that you've birthed here and the songs that you will birth in our future, God. We just want to show up and be used by you. Help us to steward it as well as we can. And thank you for allowing us just this amazing opportunity to write songs and be creative. In your name we pray. Amen.
I hope that was as meaningful for you as it was for us. If you're a songwriter and you're resonating with any of what you heard today, we'd love to get to know you more and introduce you to some folks in our community. All of our podcast interviews and guest lectures come from either our Writing Club monthly breakouts or our annual Writing Worship Conference. Check out the show notes to learn how to get more involved with Writing Club, our mentorship taught by our founder, Chrissy Nordoff, or stuff we talked about in today's episode. Find us on Facebook at the Writing Worship Community, on Instagram at writingworship.co, and our website, writingworship.co. We love meeting new folks and supporting songwriters, so be sure to stop in, say hello, and get to know us a little bit. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
The times I've grown most as a songwriter are the times I've had mentors showing me the way. If you're looking to grow as a songwriter, we're now accepting applications for our Worship Songwriter Mentorship. Now, it's available only a few times each year. The Worship Songwriter Mentorship is a songwriting intensive that will help you craft impactful worship songs. It's a course created by Dove Award-winning and Grammy-nominated, drum roll here, please, our founder, pro songwriter Chrissy Nordoff. It's a small group community, and it's led by other songwriters over the course of 9 weeks. It's an intensive course in a small group co-writing environment, and that means you'll be added to a special group of about 12 writers, give or take. Each group is led by experienced songwriters, some of them my dear, dear friends, and I've even gotten to lead a group or two. Rachel here, by the way. We love the church, and we love to champion fellow worship songwriters just like yourself. In this mentorship, you'll learn how to write songs for you and your congregation. You'll go deeper in your intimacy with Jesus. You'll get the tools needed to help craft songs more easily and never run out of creative ideas. Okay, I know it sounds too good to be true, but trust me, this course is a game changer. You'll learn how to leverage your unique songwriting personality and connect with other like-minded writers in a meaningful way. Truly, I can't think of another course, group of people, community that has impacted my songwriting the way that this mentorship has. If you're wanting to take the next steps in your songwriting journey, then apply now at the link in our show notes. We hope to see you there.